Let There Be Light. From Flashbangs and Frag Grenades. By Calchexis. Read by Sam Gabriel. Based on League of Legends by Riot Games. Chapter 54. Warriors. For decades, the name Stillwater was one that carried the overwhelming, implicit threat of something worse than just violence. It was every Zonite's personal boogeyman, regardless of whether they were a criminal or not, because all it took was enough pill teas deciding you were more trouble on your feet than on your knees, and you'd be sent packing in chains to that horrible place. There were no words for how bad things could get in that place. If you'd never lived it, you'd never understand it. That was why Vi had only ever told Caitlin bits and pieces, enough to ensure the place got thoroughly washed out by the reforms. She wouldn't tell her the rest. It wasn't the sort of thing fit for polite or even impolite conversation. It was no place for a kid to grow up. It was no place for anyone, anywhere. It was a nightmare in a concrete box stuck on an island in the middle of nowhere where the Pilties would never be able to hear her screams. To Vi, the fact that Stillwater was still standing at all was a slap in the face, but it was one that she understood intellectually couldn't be helped. The place was too damn big, and the amount of time and effort and, frankly, explosives it would take to change that fact was simply not worth it to the ruling council. But the council was gone, dissolved or dead. Piltover was going to lose this war. Maybe it was petty, maybe it was stupid. Maybe it was just the trenchy in her and some echoes of that young girl who was put behind bars by a corrupt sheriff who was too much of an asshole to do his job and too much of a coward to kill her like he was supposed to. Whatever it was, there was something feral and hungry in Vi that made her clench her fists and grin like a shark as she watched the titan bulk of Victor's Leviathan plow into the side of the Stillwater prison, shaking the whole damn place to its foundations like a solid right hook to the cheek. The walls shattered, and what didn't break crazed with fractures. The island itself felt that impact in its bones as the prison, which had stood as a monument to pain for over a century, rocked back on its heels as all of Zaun roared defiance at its abuse. Then the front of the Leviathan opened like the maw of an immense deep-sea predator, and there was a noticeable change in atmosphere, with the humid heat of the Leviathan's interior suddenly mixing with the cold, wet air of the storm-racked island outside, and the dry stink of stone dust and sweat that made up the internal, recycled air of the prison. It was nauseating, and a cold sweat broke out all across Vi's body as she took in a breath of that hideously familiar air. For a moment, the whole world slowed down even as a thrill of hate and instinctive terror tore through her limbs that was completely beyond her conscious mind. A hand suddenly gripped her shoulder and Vi jolted, then turned, expecting to see Caitlin by her side. Instead, it was her sister's shimmer-bright eyes gleaming knowingly at her as she squeezed Vi's shoulder with her mechanical hand. "I'm gonna knock this shithole to rubble," she said flatly. Vi swallowed back her gorge, then nodded and, in a voice much smaller than she thought she was capable of, said, "Thanks." Jinx just nodded, then dropped her hand away, brought up her minigun and roared, "Hit him hard! Hit him fast! And kill anything that moves!" The best of the worst flooded out of the Leviathan and into the shattered hallways of Stillwater, with Vi leading the charge alongside Jinx, with both of their wives following in their wake, rifle and magic up and ready to provide cover. Gunshots sounded almost immediately as the shock of their impact wore off, and the handful of cadre who had survived the impact were retreating in frantic disorder, only to be flensed by rapid-fire shots from Jinx's repeater as the Chemlord of Zaun cackled. The snap and bark of Glasgani Wardsman carbines mixed with it, along with the louder, sharper report of Caitlin's rifle, the combined fire making way for the heavily armored and more melee-oriented Grey Legion and Firelights to flood in after.
"You know your targets!"
Renata's voice bellowed out over the scrum, aided by what sounded like hidden amplifiers in her rebreather.
Legion! With the former sheriff! Firelights with your captain! Wardsman with myself, the Kenlord, and Lady Light! Tonight, Clan Ferros will hear us roar!
A bellow of approval shook the halls as everyone split in their assigned directions, but before Jinx left, Vi reached out and caught her by the arm.
Hey, wait!
Vi stammered.
Tick-tock, fat hands, Jinx replied. Ain't exactly swimming an extra time here.
I know, I just...
Vi cut herself off, then pulled Jinx, who immediately went rigid at the contact, into a tight hug.
Take care of yourself, okay? I want to see my sister again when we mop this shit up.
Jinx hesitated for a moment, then audibly swallowed before bringing her flesh and blood hand up to pat Vi's shoulder before shoving something in her hands.
Just in case,
was all she said before stepping away, looking Vi in the eyes one last time, then turning and bolting away to fall in with Glask and Lux. Letting out a breath she hadn't realized she was holding, Vi turned in the opposite direction and joined up with her wife and Jace, who were waiting alongside the Noxian contingent they'd been assigned. She didn't know what to expect, working alongside a bunch of zombies, but they were surprisingly normal-looking, other than the gray skin.
Ready?
Caitlin asked. And there was a hollow timbre to her voice that sounded strangely off. Then Vi twigged to it and looked back over her shoulder at all of the dead Chondramen who'd just been gunned down. More than one of them had a high-caliber hole drilled neatly between their eyes.
Yeah, Vi said quietly.
You okay, Cupcake? Caitlin's eyes drifted over Vi's shoulder, went distant. Then she turned away to look down the hall as she said,
No, I'm not.
But this war needs to end. And you've been fighting your own people for long enough that it's high time I grow accustomed to fighting mine.
It should never have gotten this bad, Jace said as he moved to Vi's right. This is more my fault than any of yours. Mine or the Council. We did this.
Yeah, you did, Vi replied flatly, then blew out a sigh. But you're here, she added, trying to soften the sting. You're trying to make it right. And that's all I can ask of you, pretty boy.
Jace snorted, then nodded.
Right, well. He brought up his hammer and ratcheted it into its cannon form. Time to clean up my mess. In another lower part of the Leviathan, the underbelly of Zaun made its move. The exposed pipes of the broken wall made a perfect entry point for Zack as he poured into one side of the wall while Twitch's rats spilled out like a plague in the opposite direction. Both carried Ziggs's newest and smallest mark of explosives, Zack's inside of his gelatinous body and Twitch's on the backs of his rats with orders to drop them every so often. Zig stayed back, surrounded by blueprints of Stillwater, pipe specs, and various calculations scribbled on scrap pieces of paper. The three of them had headsets, with a special one made by Victor for Zack and kept in touch, each reporting whenever they laid one of the bombs. Chewing on the nib of his stylus, Ziggs did a little quick math and made a couple more marks on a sheet of paper, notating each bomb that was successfully laid, and as he did, he compared it to the amount he'd calculated that he would need. Then compared that to the time. So long as Jinx and her wrecking crew kept the clan's attention, they were on track to lace the whole prison. When this was over, every clanner on the island would be dead, along with their leader, and their main base of operations would be less than rubble. Zack would get most of them. He moved faster than Twitch's whole legion of rats, but had to balance that with having to return every so often to restock. The size of the bombs meant he could carry quite a lot of them, but Stillwater was a big place, and a big place needed a lot of explosives. Twitch, likewise, had to balance planting bombs and chewing wires. That slowed him down, too. It was a necessary little inefficiency, though. Chewed wires meant less security and fewer turrets popping out of the walls. It meant that their distraction was going to last longer and make it to their objectives that much faster. After all, the explosives wouldn't do a lick of good if they couldn't get their own folks out of there, not really anyway. Jinx had made Ziggs make her a promise, though, one that Ziggs was loath to keep, but would if he had to. She'd made him promise that if it looked like they were going to lose, he would blow the whole place sky high, even if they were all still in it. He didn't want to, but he would, because just like Jinx, Ziggs hated to lose, and he'd be damned if he was going to lose to Camille fucking Ferros. The last thing Piltover needed was some clockwork god of storms. That thought made his fur stand on end, and Ziggs made another set of notations as both Twitch and Zack reported more laid bombs and chewed wires.
You better make it out of there, Braids, Ziggs muttered. Because if it ain't you, who's gonna lead us freaks, huh?
More mics, more bombs, more wires. The clock was ticking. If there was one thing that Caitlin could say about the Grey Legion, it was that they could take a hit. There was no shortage of clan or cadre in Stillwater, and every corner they turned greeted them with a hail of high-caliber rounds, not enough to puncture the Grey Legion's armor at range, but enough to give them pause. Victor had churned out a new set of armor for the Legion's veterans, along with the firelights on the Glasgotti prior to the attack. According to him, the designs weren't fully complete because of time constraints, but they were still miles ahead of the claptrap Zahn's forces had been clad in prior to that. The way bullets just bounced off of the sloped metal plates, Caitlin couldn't help but agree. Even cadre armor wasn't that good. Sighting down the scope of her rifle, she picked out the helmeted head of a cadre sergeant who was barking orders behind enemy lines and snuffed them out. A moment later, a bright blue blast of Hextech energy crashed into the makeshift barricade that the cadre forces were sheltering behind, reducing the impact point to molten slag and blinding everyone behind it. The Legion followed up as the second part of their 1-2 punch with Vi in the lead, crashing into the cadre and bringing the gunmen into melee with trained Noxian killers. Lacking cover, the advantage of range, and a leader to give clear orders, they quickly fell into disorder, and Caitlin watched as they were cut down mercilessly by the undead soldiers that harried them. It was like a scene from a pulp horror novel, made all the more grotesque by its reality. "This," Jace said as he approached her from behind, "was not how I saw my tenure as Counselor of Hextech Security coming to an end."
"Nor my tenure as Sheriff," Caitlin replied to Dully as she shouldered her rifle.
The high-pitched whine of his mercury cannon's core cycled up as Jace brought the weapon to bear and began advancing behind the Noxians and said,
"You don't have to retire your commission as Sheriff, you know."
"I know," Caitlin replied.
"And maybe I won't, but after today, I don't know how I'd feel about protecting the people of Piltover. And that's assuming we both succeed and survive."
They both strode past the remains of the cadre soldiers who had been holding the line against them, and Jace grimaced. He didn't look away from them, though. In fact, Caitlin noted, he seemed to fix his gaze on each and every one of the fallen, as if committing them to memory, before passing by.
"I have no choice," Jace said, his voice growing stronger as he lifted his chin from the dead beneath him. "I have no right to represent the interests of the people after my failures, but you only ever tried to do right by both Piltover and Zahn."
"For all the good that it did," Caitlin replied thinly.
"But you tried."
Jace turned to meet her gaze, and all of a sudden she could see him again. The young genius that her family had patronized before Hextech, before things went sour.
"Even after all these years, you're still doing the right thing, no matter how distasteful. I lost myself in the politicking and let myself be blinded by all the golden lights of high society, but you and Vi, even from the start, you were fighting for justice."
"Justice."
The word seemed so hollow now that it was scattered across the floor like so many sundered limbs. Caitlin couldn't get the images of the dead out of her head. For months, the war had turned the two cities into a meat grinder, and she had been forced to witness every moment of it. War, plague, famine, strife, death. Her dreams were drowning in all of it, and there were days she wondered if she would ever have a good night's sleep again. And yet, what choice was there? Running away? Looking up, Caitlin sought out the glimpse of red that was Vi's heavy jacket amidst the crimson and gray of the Noxians. For all the horrors and all the disappointment, Vi still believed in her. She still believed in justice and in doing what was necessary. Maybe it was the Zahnite in her. The blood of the trenches flowed thick in her wife's veins. The blood of rebels and freedom fighters and bloody-minded optimists that picked themselves up from the mud and muck of the Undercity to try again and again, no matter how many times the boot of Piltover landed on their collective necks. They said that hope wasn't ephemeral, that hope had abraded knuckles and bruises on her face. Hope was an angel with a carbine and a hard-nosed glint in her eyes that said she would never, ever give up.
"I'm sorry you have to inherit all this," Chase continued, his voice tight and angry. I'm sorry for everything, Kate. I really am.
Me too, Caitlin said. But maybe after this we can—
Get down!
Vi's shout cut straight through Caitlin's conscious mind and went directly to his hindbrain, and she dropped, dragging Jace down with her as a deafening snap crack of discharge cut through the air above them. An even dozen Legion dropped with great holes drilled through their chests and heads, obliterating brain and spine as if the brand new armor that Victor had given them wasn't even there. And Caitlin recognized those wounds.
They're blackened! Rush them while they reload!
Caitlin roared as she scrambled to her feet and sprinted down the hall. Those weapons were the bleeding edge of the clan's unwholesome genius. Hextech railguns powered entirely by hex electric cores that launched a dense sphere of ferrous metal at unbelievable speeds down the barrel or rail of the weapon. Three blackguards stood at the far end of the hallway with those tools of destruction, reloading with that silent, unsettling discipline they were known for. And Caitlin knew in an instant that they weren't going to get on them before they had time to fire again. Vi was close, but not close enough.
Violet!
Caitlin screamed her wife's name, certain she was about to see the woman she loved most in all the world be killed. Then Vi flicked out her gauntleted fingers like a stage performer doing sleight of hand, and the rattling chatter of a half dozen of Jinx's signature chompers went flying at the Kadra blackguard. Not all of them landed, but enough snapped their metal teeth onto the bare metal nodes extruding from the gun's rails that it didn't matter. The blackguards pulled the triggers a moment too late, sent that shock of hex electricity down the rails and the chompers attached to them. Thank the aspects, the latest generation of those horrors had little to no critical thinking skills, or they might have held off. As it was, even though the blackguards themselves were mostly fine, their weapons were not.
Bury 'em!
Vi shouted as she redlined her Atlas gauntlets and threw herself forward, crashing into one of the Kadra elite, who was still stunned by Jinx's grenades.
Damn it,
Caitlin muttered as she sighted down at one of the guards next to Vi. Now I owe her your life. Disarmed or not, the blackguards were unspeakably fast and almost comically hard to put down. Even with Jace getting stuck in to fight back-to-back with Vi and with Caitlin providing fire support through the scrum of undead soldiers armed with weapons fresh from the forges of the Machine Herald, they still lost most of the Legion they came in with. Of the 24 Noxian veterans, they were now down to 5.
Hope there's not too many more of those,
Jace muttered as he sagged against the wall next to a control panel for the elevator the three had obviously been guarding.
Doubt it, Vi said as she dropped down to sit in the middle of the floor to try and catch her breath. Those monsters take weeks to make, and the attrition rate is pretty gross. Plus, Zahn is pretty decent at killing them, so there can't be too many left in old Cam's back pocket.
Caitlin nodded as she went about checking her ammo and at the same time tried to calculate how many that might be. Stillwater was a big place, and Piltover was much, much bigger. It would take a lot of time to bring the blackguards back, and even harder to do it discreetly. As far as Caitlin could recall, there hadn't been any major movements between Piltover and Stillwater prior to their attack. There was also the fact that Camille had clearly dispersed many of her Hextech killers across the City of Progress to tie up loose ends. The Council had just been the tip of the iceberg. For every great house, there were dozens of businesses and safe houses to mop up, and while the 105 might have been ideal for taking out the hardest targets thanks to their greater mental faculties, the rest could be reasonably left to the duller but more heavily armed and armored latter generation. All of that combined with the fact that it was hilariously obvious that Camille had not expected this attack. The defenses were shoddy and poorly organized. That would change as time passed, but the plan that Jinx had outlined had given Caitlin the impression that they were intending to be in Stillwater for long.
Faster we move, Caitlin said after a moment. The fewer of those things we'll have to fight, so Jace, if you would.
She gestured at the elevator's control panel, and Jace nodded as he pulled out a portable kit from his vest and started prying off the panel. A few moments, and more than a few sparks later, the elevator doors opened to reveal a shaft that went deep, deep underground.
This is it?
Jace asked, looking back at Vi. Coming up behind him, Vi leaned over and looked down the shaft, then pulled back and nodded with a twisted grimace as she said,
Yeah, this is it. That shaft should take us all the way to the old dark yard, but once we get there, there'll be more security. That place had bunkers, blast doors, kill zones, the works, you know? In case the big numbers in the yard gave the prisoners any bright ideas. I wish I'd known, Chase said, looking vaguely ill. Then he scowled and shook his head. No, I wish I'd cared enough to check. The prison wasn't your bailiwick, Chase, Caitlin said as she approached the elevator shaft. It was Marcus's. And he would have made sure you only ever saw what he wanted you to see, even if you'd gone looking. Not that it helps, Chase replied. No, Caitlin agreed. It doesn't. Nothing would ever help the people who had suffered here. Nothing but removing this blighted pustule of a structure from the skin of Rune Terra. That, at least, she could agree with Jinx over. Stillwater needed to fall. Ready to go? Vi asked as she held out a hand to Caitlin, who took it with a nod. Letting herself be pulled flush to Vi's side, she held on tight as her wife leapt for the cables running down the center of the shaft, gripped tight. As she did, Caitlin shouted to the Legion,
"Cover this for as long as you can! Hopefully we won't be long!"
The last few of the Legion gave crisp salutes before going to do just that in spite of their many dead comrades around them. Then again, death obviously meant something different in the Grey Legion. Who knew? Maybe to them. The ones on the floor were the lucky ones. Chase fitted a pair of smaller gauntlets and made his own leap to grab another cable, and Vi sighed before saying, "Going down. Then let's hope Echo and the Professor can get those blast doors waiting for us open." "They will," Chase said with certainty. Caitlin hoped he was right, for all their sakes. As she, Vi, and Jace began sliding down the cable toward the bottom of the world and the sins it held.
The text of this story is available on AO3. Music by Dot Matrix. If you would like me to record a story, voice over a character, get in touch using the contact information available on my website, which is located at samgabrielvo.com. And there you can find other stories that I've read, as well as a link to my Discord server, where I record things live for your enjoyment. And finally, as always, thank you for listening.